Hallelujah. It's just Marakereskadi. You can sit there, Homer. Hallelujah. It's good to see Tony here today. Hallelujah. And a good friend of Amber's here. Hallelujah. Did you guys get the offering? You go ahead. Hallelujah. Our next step is going into God like we never have. Hallelujah. Yes, praise God. Yes. We call ourselves revivalists, and we are, and we're, Homer says he loves the word servant, and he'll go revivalist, but the power begins yes. with the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Jesus came to... This is basic, but I'm telling you, he came to set us free from the power of sin. That's at the new birth. It's when you were born again. You received faith and you gave yourself over to the Holy Spirit. You gave yourself over to being born again. Jesus, after the cross, met the disciples for the first time in the upper room or probably wherever they had originally had communion. And he went in and he showed himself to them after his resurrection. And he breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Some people, some scholars believe that they weren't born again until the day of Pentecost. But that's when they received Christ. That's when they were born again. And then he said, "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins that you retain, they're retained." And he's not talking about that we have the power to forgive as God forgives, but we have the power to say this: because of your confession, you've been born again. But then before he left the planet, he said that wasn't enough. He didn't say it like that, but he gave us this truth. He said, "Go and tarry. Go and wait. Because you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And we know that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, and that was the power. So we here at this church, we believe that you must be born again, of course, to make heaven. But there's a second grace. There's a place where the Holy Spirit comes and envelops that born-again spirit, and you're filled with His Spirit. And as a result of it, you receive power. Power, what kind of power? Power to begin to walk a walk with God like, let me say, most Christians don't. Because most Christians still believe that they're under the power of sin. And that if you've went to a church where they tell you that, well, that's who you are, you're a sinner saved by grace. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner, now you've been saved by grace. Hallelujah. And you've been born again, and as a result of that born again power, and as your Father living inside of you through His Spirit, there's power. I said there's power to live above sin. But then He wants to come and baptize you with His Holy Spirit so that you can walk in power and affect other people's lives. Because you know this, it's not all about you. And it's not all about me. Because He's sent us into this age to make effect for other people's lives. Hallelujah. Everywhere you go, He wants to be working in you. He wants to be working through you. Thank God that we're doing some things now to feed the poor and these kinds of things through Homer and what. But you know, and He'll tell you this to start with. There's a power that goes beyond feeding the poor. It's a power to heal the sick. It's a power to see the miraculous. Because there's only one thing that's really going to take the church at Norm and take them to a place where they say, there's a real God. And I'm not saying people don't believe in God. I'm just saying that you can live in a church and you can live and function and go through a format and go through programs. But until the Holy Spirit begins to function in you and through you, And then people begin to see in this age that there's a church that has power. That when they lay hands on the sick, they do recover. That when they speak the word, something happens. Hallelujah. When they begin to express their worship, people can feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. We not only need to know that God exists and he's real, but that we can feel his presence. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Now turn with me just a little bit, because I think before this service is over, we're going to lay hands on people. If they want to be prayed for any way, and if they want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have the gift of praying in other tongues, it's for you today. Hallelujah. We're going to give that opportunity. We're going to be right back in the book of Philippians just for a little while this morning. Hallelujah. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Okay. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you and glorify you. We won't take no as your answer, but you've said yes to all the promises. They're yea, yes, and amen in Christ. Hallelujah. And we give you glory. We give you praise, Father. We thank you that as we move forward this morning, that we're receiving this grace to walk into you and press forward or press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. Hallelujah. So go with me to Philippians. I've got it in my notes, so I'm not going to turn there in my Bible. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to cover some stuff that we have before recently and even before in the past, but just continue to remind you of the intimacy that he desires to have with you personally. Philippians 3, 1 through 4 says, this is Paul. He is talking to the church at Philippi, and this is the church where Paul was put into prison at. That he's writing from Rome, and this is one of the epistles that they call as the joy epistle. He's expressing joy being in the midst of prison. Now, I don't know how many of you would think it would be a happy time to be in jail, but he was in jail for Christ's sake. Yes, sir. For the test. He wasn't in jail because of a crime that he'd committed. He was in jail because he was there for the testimony. And he's writing from prison, and he's writing from a place that some people have said it, he's in the Tullian Keep. I don't know if that's correct or not, but that was a place under the palace. At times he could, he had a freedom for a period of time to write. But he's writing to the Philippian church, and he says to them, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you say that with me? Rejoice in the Lord. And he says, to write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. In other words, I've written this before, or I've said this before to you, but I'm going to say it again. It's safe. Beware of dogs. He's not talking about physical dogs. He's talking about the Judaizers and those that would try to bring them into bondage. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, those that would try to add to the simplicity of Christ in us. This is the work, to believe on him. Yes, sir. And to follow him. And the word says here, he said, Paul is writing, he said, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, what's he talking about when he's talking about the flesh? He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath wherewith he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now, he's about to give his pedigree. He's about to talk about who he was and his ability to handle the law before he came into Christ. And Paul begins to express here. He tells us some things about himself. You've read it before. Let's read it again. Verse 5 says, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He's saying where he's from and what he's been associated with, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law blameless. Now, he wasn't saying that he had lived a sinless life, but every time that it was in conscience, every time according to the law, he would go to the sacrifice. And he would do whatever he needed to do, sacrifice another lamb or go to the temple to do whatever that was necessary. But good works won't save you. And the law can't save you. Only Jesus Christ, only born again, can give you a new birth. Verse 7 says, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost. In other words, he could have stood in the essence of who he once was and thought, this is enough. But he says, I counted those things for loss. On the road to Damascus, the day that Paul, in Acts chapter 9, when Paul runs into Jesus, and Jesus says to him, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you? Good question. And he said, I'm Jesus. Hallelujah. Perfect question. And then the next thing was, what would you have me to do? And Paul laid down his past life that day. The Paul that was there died on the road to Damascus. And God raised him up to follow him and saying, everything that I once trusted in, I lay down to put my trust in Christ. Yes, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. The knowledge of Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung. Yes, sir. Count them but dung. That I may win Christ. It's interesting here that Paul begins to talk about that those things that were once his essence, that then they become nothing to him. But he says here that he desired to have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Now, this word knowledge here in the Greek is the word that is just a general knowledge, just a, you could almost say a scientific knowledge, but there was a revelation knowledge. He knew of Christ. He met him on the road to Damascus. But as Paul goes on in his life, and as you and I go on in our life to experience more of Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and go forward in the things of God, it goes from just a general knowledge, this word knowledge, and I didn't write that that actual word down, but it means in the Greek knowledge. But let's look at a little bit further here. In verse 9 he says, and be found in him not having my own righteousness, that I may know him. That's the first knowledge, or the first knowing. And then he says, the power of his resurrection. Let me read verse 9 again. He says, he goes from verse 8, but he says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. But now he's about to say, he's going to use another word for knowledge. And it's an intimate word for knowledge. It goes beyond the first knowledge of just knowing in verse 8. In verse 9, he says, be found in him not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Yes. And then he says that I, here's where he exchanged himself, that I may know him.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
That I may know him. And this word know here is, and I'll give you the definition, but that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He knows, he lists three or four different things here. The first thing that he desires is this, that I may know him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformable, being made conformable unto his death. This is the second time in just a couple of verses that Paul uses the word know or knowledge. The second time that Paul uses the word knowledge is the word that is far beyond, there's a progression, but it's the first, it's far beyond the first progression of revelation knowledge. The second time that he uses it, it's to know Christ face to face. This word knowledge here is the word gnosko, which means, in a general sense, the intimacy as a man would know his wife, and deep intimacy. And Paul is saying here, I want to go past the place of just having a general knowledge of Christ to a place of face-to-face intimacy. And this is where we're at this church. This is what we're saying. This is what the Holy Spirit brings. You can be born again and have a general knowledge of the Word of God, love God. But the one who comes to bring you into a place of intimacy, deep intimacy, is the Holy Spirit. And as you begin to commune with God on a daily basis and commune with Jesus and commune with the Holy Spirit brings you into a place where Paul uses this word, gnosko. It's a face-to-face intimacy with God. Hallelujah. Paul counted this to be the first and the greatest call of his life. This was it. He says, the number one thing that I desire more than anything else, this is the and he later uses the phrase, I press towards the mark for the prize. And so what Paul is saying here is this, the number one thing in my life, despite all other things, is this, that I may know him, not just in knowledge, but that I know him, Christ, face to face. Hallelujah. You've heard me talk about at times, and this is where I still seek with all of my heart to know him, is that when I go into my office in the mornings and begin to worship God, and I'm looking up into the face of my Father, that I'm also believing that the reality of Jesus is right there. Sometimes it might seem make-believe for some people, but it's like, Lord, I just vision you, Jesus, sitting right there on the couch.
Yes, sir.
And that I'm loving you and speaking words, and that, Lord, as I look to you in face-to-face, I'm not just, it's one thing to read this word, and you should read it daily. That's a general knowledge without revelation knowledge, but the revelation knowledge comes as the Holy Spirit begins to visit you on a continual basis. Hallelujah. He says this. The second thing was that he wanted to know him in the power of his resurrection. What's the power of his resurrection? It's the power that demolishes all sin in your life. Everything that the resurrection of Christ set us free from, it's the power to live above sin. Hallelujah. And he wanted to know him in that sense that, Lord, we really have the power to live far above sin. And then he says, in the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, you're right there in Philippians, so it's easy for you to turn back there. But in chapter 2, he said this, and we've covered this even recently. Verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When it says that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, he's talking about the word there is that he, the essence of understanding is that he continually died on a daily basis. He didn't die. He died physically one time and spiritually one time, but on a continual basis, he was giving himself over, humbling himself as a servant and saying, I'm going to die this day against everything that's coming against me. I'm going to die this day, yield my members over to Christ, over to God. And it says here that he thought it not robbery. And we broke that down out of the Greek in a certain sense and went to the Amplified and showed you this, that it wasn't that he thought that he was robbing God, but rather that he himself had not been robbed. That's how it really expresses it out of the Greek. The Amplified says this, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the Amplified says this in verse 10, continuing on the context here where we're at, that he would that he would know him in a place. I'll just read it. For my determined purpose, that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to the power, to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may know and share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into the likeness, even to the death, to his death in hope. Verse 11 says this: if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul was not speaking there about one day I'm going to be resurrected. He was talking about, like, and we're all going to be resurrected. If we're here, I mean, we're going to be resurrected. If we're in heaven, we're going to come back with Christ and have that whole transformation process of a glorified body. But what was he talking about here? Paul was not speaking of his future resurrection, but something that he was living every single day. And this is how the Amplified says it: that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead even while I'm in this body. Hallelujah. So there's a place where we understand this, that if we're going into God, there's a faith that says this: Abba, Father, I want to know you.
Yes, sir.
I want to know you.
Yes.
Through Christ.
Yes, sir.
More than anything else.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Out of that, face to face, comes an ability not only to live above sin in theory, but actually to walk in a place where we're actually, what do they call zombies? Walking dead? Well, we're not zombies, but we are walking without the life of the flesh. Hallelujah. Well, somebody said something to me, Pastor, last Sunday, and I just can't get over it. Oh, yeah, you can. Hallelujah. Yes, you can. Because your flesh is dead. You have to choose. Hallelujah. I've been choosing a lot. But I can tell you this, not only positionally, but in truth, we're dead.
Hallelujah.
He says this in verse 12. He says this, 3:12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press.
Yes.
I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This word press is an interesting word. It's the word diako, and it means this. Diako or dioko. It means to pursue. When Paul says this, I press, I pursue, it does mean to pursue, but it also means this. By implication, it means to persecute. It means to persecute, to ensue, to go to a place where you press forward. And what was Paul saying? He was saying this: as I press, looking at his face, as I look at him and say, he is my ultimate desire, than anything else that gets in my way. Listen, we're not supposed to be mean to people, but we can't be mean to our flesh. We can be mean to that. And we can, Paul was saying this, I persecute any part of me that would rise up and say, I've got rights. I've got rights not to pray today, not to go in, to sit and feel sorry for myself. Hallelujah. There's a greater path. And Paul said, I am pressing. Paul wasn't saying that my apostleship and that all that I'd been called to do and that what I'd left behind and that my apostleship was the mark. He was saying intimacy with Christ.
Yes, sir.
is the mark. That's the greatest place. And intimacy with Christ is that greatest mark. And Paul said that's what he was pressing for. He ensued. He gave himself over. Paul was saying that anything in his flesh that would challenge this position of intimacy, he would persecute it with a choice of crucifying the flesh. Verse 15 says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." In other words, as you go into him, whatever's stopping you, whatever's stopping us, whatever is an excuse to say, you know, I've got a right to not pursue God, or, you know, not, you know, I can cut my prayer time and go do this. And so I give that, as John said in those last books that he said, children, keep yourself from idols. And we have to watch what we think is an excuse for not having enough time to go into God. Pastor Dave used to say this. Well, go with me. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Look at it in Scripture, and then I'll say what he said. Hallelujah. Verse 24, Paul's talking to the body of Christ, and he says this, and I'm just going to read it out of the King James, and I didn't break it down in the Greek, but he says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up." You can, if you're going to underline, you can fill up. To fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. When he says, "I fill up that which is behind," the word "behind" there is the word "lacking." In other words, whatever, this is incredible. It's a difficult scripture to understand sometimes, but Paul is saying that Pastor Dave used to say, don't waste your trials. And Paul was saying, while I'm going through the sufferings of the afflictions of the flesh, he says, I'm going to take that and use it as an opportunity to fill up that which is lacking. In other words, my coming to God in the midst of my trial is going to bring forth a continual crucifixion to the flesh. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, because I believe that we're going to just pray here for people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just worship the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're born again, and that's probably most everybody here, but you say, you know, I know that there's something more. Well, you're right where he wants you this morning. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you believe what I've said concerning the power of the Holy Spirit, you say, I'm starting to believe it's for me. Hallelujah. This power is for me. That's the Holy Spirit coming to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship you. Let's just worship and worship God. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Robert, lead us. Thank you, Jesus. I know that God wants to take you to the next level. And as we sing this one more time, somebody will step out with you. But if you want to be filled with the Spirit this morning, if there's something inside of you, said, I believe I can receive. It's simple. All we're going to do is just pray for you and pray with you this morning. Or if you have a particular prayer request other than that, we'll pray with you. But let's just sing this song. Let's just, if that's you, male, female, whoever you are, go ahead and step out. Hallelujah. Stop.